Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Beauty Talk with Illusions Cosmetics for today, June 11th. Hi, I'm your host, Janice Tanell, and tonight I am joined by a new co-host, Cynthia Jones. She's a Washington, D.C. makeup artist, and she's here in my sister's absence. Denise is on set in Atlanta on Drop Dead Divas, and she'll be joining us sometime tonight. Say hello, Cynthia.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. We have a wonderful show planned for you guys tonight, so please join in on the discussion by calling us at 914-803-4399, or you can email us your questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com. You can also join us live in the chat room, and just to let you all know, the chat room is where people come in. It's like instant messaging, and they'll come in, they'll make comments on the show, they'll ask questions. And it looks like we have right now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 8 people already in the chat room. So that's pretty good. Tonight's guest is a Los Angeles-based hair and makeup artist, Maxie, who was featured as the makeup artist competing for the search for the next great makeup artist on Lifetime's reality show, Blush. Hey, Maxie, how are you?
Hey, everybody, how are you? Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Glad to see
you tonight.
Pardon me?
I said, I'm glad you could join us tonight.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited to be on here. And, I mean, I loved meeting you in New York. And
Yeah. You
and your sister are amazing. You know, I've worked with your sister on music videos in the past in Atlanta.
Yes.
And we did actually a Ludacris video together. I think it was Welcome to Atlanta. And we did a Jermaine Dupri video together as well.
And Maxie, let me tell you, I think after those few music videos, I think my sister went on to do maybe 2 or 3 more. And, you know, she does not like music videos. And I think it's more of the rap world that kind of turned her off more so than the actual video.
Well, no, it's probably the actual video. It is not easy. Those videos go on for like 18, 20 hours. And it's crazy hours, and it's sort of a bizarre world, and, you know, you have to really be into working on them and to actually do them for a long time. Most people just do them for a short time and move on. I personally love them. I've been doing music videos for like 10 years, and
wow.
I love working on them.
Wow. Yeah, well, I know she's used to the long hours from working on film, but to me it seemed like she was somewhat turned off by, I think it's just the rappers, I think. I don't know.
I've worked with every rapper you can name right now, from Eminem down to, I even did some Master P video in New York a long time ago. But I've worked with every rapper, and I can tell you they're mostly all, you know, you would think that they would even have perhaps issue with me, but I got along with all of them, and they were all pretty great. But if she, you know, she's a woman.
Right,
so she
right.
probably has problems with them perhaps making, you know, unwanted advances or something like that.
Maybe.
But I had no problem. They were, if anything, scared of me.
I can't imagine.
Well, I don't know why, but they are. I mean, you can. I have, by the way, a website, maxiemaxiemaxie.com, and you can see pictures of, like, Eminem beating me up and Nelly, the rapper, beating me up. And so I've documented all of my, like, rap history.
Okay.
For the first 6 years of my career, I didn't even saw a white face.
Wow. That's different.
Yeah, well, my first agent was Crystal Wright, who wrote the career guide to hair, makeup, and styling. And for some reason, you know, they pigeonholed her as a rap and hip-hop agent, even though she was an agent for, you know, all types of jobs. And I happened to be at her agency, and I happened to go do all those jobs. The first music video I ever worked on, oh my gosh, I probably shouldn't even say this, but was Wu-Tang Clan Triumph. And this dates me really wrong.
It does.
But you don't know what year it came out. None of you do. So just keep it down.
Well, you kind of told us some of your background, Maxie, but give us a little bit more information on who you are and what you've done besides music videos.
Well, you know, honestly, I'm from a little town called Fontana, California, which is like the fast food capital of California. And I'm from, you know, like a trailer park project type situation. So I wasn't like, you know, necessarily raised well or anything like that. But I moved to Hollywood and I just started, you know, doing makeup and working my way up, and I built a portfolio, and I don't just do music videos. I do red carpet stuff as well, and most people just know me from my appearance on Blush, and they think, you know, I was trying to reach out for work or something by being on the show, but the real reason I was on the show is just to, like, show my makeup to the world, because in videos and stuff, you don't really get to see someone stationary just sitting there with makeup on, so no one really gets to see ever what anyone ever did.
Exactly.
And but even before Blush, I had worked with, done body makeup on Christina Aguilera. I had done Dita Von Teese. A few weeks before Blush, I did work on Lady Gaga for L.A. Inc. I have, you know, I've had this successful career, but no one really knew about it. And like I said, I work with every rapper and Eminem and, like, you know, all these people, even, like, sports figures like Peyton Manning and, you know, like, it's really bizarre. Like, I've had a very diverse career that you'd be surprised to know, because most people just think I was this crazy person on Blush.
Right, exactly.
Mm.
Well, I guess...
And
it's
not true.
And I guess had I not known... about you through my sister, then I probably would have just thought that you, you know, were on Blush. But I will say that my personal opinion is not because you're on the show tonight, but I really felt like you were the best makeup artist there. And well, that leads me to a question, because I remember on one of the later episodes, Todd said that you were too artistic for the corporate world. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, you know, I completely agree with that statement. I agree with most statements that are said about me, even like the negative things I read on blogs and stuff. I love that. I honestly, you know, the contract, the prize was for to represent Max Factor, which isn't necessary. It's a conservative thing. The corporate world is like, not ready for someone, you know, with a mirrored headdress on, or they're really not. I never thought I would win that show. I thought Nolan was the perfect winner for what the prizes were. And let me say, the prizes were a magazine shoot with InStyle magazine, and I had done that 10 years before I ever showed up on Flesh, did an InStyle shoot. And then it was $100,000, which, you know, I don't know. It just was irrelevant to me. The Max Factor contract would have been great, like, you know, to imagine myself as that, but it really wasn't something I wanted to do, go around the country representing Max Factor. That's not my favorite line. Although I started my career with little pieces of Max Factor, they totally helped me when I couldn't afford kit. I mean, I'll get into that later, but I have my favorite lines, which I use, that I'm dedicated to, that I can't live without, that I think every makeup artist must have, as a matter of fact. I have on the line with me David Klasfeld from OCC Cosmetics, who created the line. It's my favorite line. I feel like everyone needs to know about these products. They have a website. It's www.occmakeup.com, but he's on the line. Say hi, David. You're still on the line, right?
Yeah, of course. Hey, everybody. Hey, Maxie.
Hi, David. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
How did the relationship between you and Maxie begin?
Oh, please. Maxie taught me everything I know.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
That is such a lie.
But it's, you know what, I actually started off assisting Maxie many years ago, and he was one of the first makeup artists to really give me my start in the industry.
Oh, wow.
I had David work with me on an Eminem video back in the day called Fight Music. And Dave has taught me so many things, and he's actually like an educator of makeup who knows way more about it than I ever will. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, and he always did, even when he was assisting me, But besides that, also, the thing he failed to mention is that his cousin, Mark Klausfeld, is a big director that I've also worked with on numerous occasions that's helped me with my career. And then, you know, Dave and I lost touch for many years, and then he popped up with this makeup line. But then I was like, okay, you know, let's see what you got. But he had the best products that were, you know, that were on the market for what they were, like the shadows, the loose pigment shadows, and the new lip tars and their whole airbrush system. Like, I was genuinely impressed. So it wasn't like just someone that, you know, I liked and knew. It was, I fell in love with what he had, what his line was. And I go around actually everywhere talking about it like a crazy person, just because it's my favorite line, and for no other reason. But Dave, so Dave was lying. He didn't learn anything from me.
I learned a lot about the realities of the industry, and that's a terrific subject to learn from Maxi. And in that regard, he is absolutely an educator too. And in fact, we are both going to be doing presentations at this year's Makeup Artist Trade Show in Pasadena next weekend. It's the International Makeup Artist Trade Show. And Maxi's actually going to be just bringing some of that patented Maxi information to that.
You know, you are right. I mean, no one can say that I don't. I know what someone needs to do to get into the entertainment industry. I can guide someone who's come out of makeup school to success if they listen to what I say. As long as they don't act how I act, girls.
Maxi tells it like it is, and Maxi is very real, and that's something I've always appreciated about him since day one.
And you know, that's what I liked about him on the show.
Yeah, and what you saw on the show is 100% what you get. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who claim that reality TV is all editing, and I can vouch that that is 100% Maxi.
Well, you know, it was me under those circumstances. You got to understand, being on a reality show is not a log ride, everybody. It's not a picnic. You're actually in a place with strangers, with no internet, no telephone, no TV, no nothing. And they just plop you in with 10 people and then wake you up in the morning for challenges. Like, eventually anyone would snap. But I have to say that it was a pretty accurate depiction of me.
Wow. David, briefly, just tell everyone a little bit about the OCC products. I know I have Cynthia on the line, and she's a makeup artist who airbrushes pretty much almost, I can say, all the time.
Oh, terrific. Well, Cynthia, if you haven't tried our products yet, I would love to get you some. We started back in 2004. We were just a funky little professional line, and our whole thing has always been about innovating and creating products that aren't already on the market. So for the first year, we were actually just two lip balms, Tarte and Feathered, which are a black and a white lip balm, respectively, and they were just used to shade and tint the lips. And that was, we were pretty happy with just that for the first year. And our whole goal has just been to create really unique products since then that aren't already on the marketplace. And it thrills me when someone like Maxi really sees a difference in the product line. That's always been our goal.
Right. And just to let you both know, I'm sorry, Cynthia, but just to let you both know, both Cynthia and myself and my sister will all be at that IMAT show in Pasadena.
Terrific.
Oh, yay!
Next week, here we come. David, right. I actually met you probably 2 years ago at the International Makeup Artist Trade Show in L.A., and that was the first time I used OCC, and I purchased the airbrush, the skin foundations, and I must say it's perfection. I mean, my clients love them. They can't tell the difference, you know, even though it's a flawless finish, it doesn't look like they have makeup on. And I just commend you for all the research and all the time you put into this product line. I love it.
Because I have to say something, too, because literally it's the difference. All these other companies have airbrush systems, but the difference is like the difference between a garden hose and like a fine mist spray. Like there was a woman at the last trade show that had half of her face airbrushed by another person at the show, and then came to the OCC booth, and she was like, let's say 70 or so, 65,
wow.
And they did the other half of her face. Dave did the other half of her face. He insisted on it. I don't know what you did, Dave. Did you wipe off one half of her face?
No, she...
Or did she come with half?
She came
with half. Either way, half was done with OCC and half was done with some of the products. And literally, she looked like she was 50 on one side and 70 on the other. It was crazy. Honestly, makeup artists have to have the right tools in order. You can't just be a good makeup artist if you don't have the proper tools. Everyone finds, like, their favorite things. Like, I have my favorite little products here and there in a few other lines, but if you want to really... focus on one thing and say which one product line is the best. It really is yours, Dave.
Thank you.
But now, what was I going to say? I was going to tell you something. What were you going to ask me? You were asking me something else.
I'm not sure, but we have a caller from the 201 area code, and I want to give them a chance to say something or ask something if they would like, and if not, we'll move on. Hello, caller.
201 is Utah, isn't it?
I'm not sure. Hello? Maybe, is that Jersey, New Jersey?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Oh, okay, crap.
Well, they're not answering, so we'll move on. Maxie, I do know that you wanted to talk a little bit about the death of fashion. So if you'd like to talk about it.
Well, the sad thing is that on every photo shoot I go on every job, someone comes with the tear sheets or references from another job, and they want to exactly copy that job, or they refer to the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, everything, to the 80s. They're even referencing the 90s now, and I have, or the Renaissance era. And the thing is that there is not one design, and the reason is because there's not one designer that's the top designer, mainstream designer, that's making new clothes. We're all purchasing items that were basically stolen from other designers from past eras. And it's so sad to me because that's why we as makeup artists have to, or hairdressers, I do both makeup and hair, we have to know what the makeup was like in the 20s for the 20s stars, and we have to be really familiar with every period from the 20s to the 80s and all the stars that had like the particular looks from those eras or the main looks, and it just bothers me that we can't move on, that we can't actually create new things and come up with new fashion and new clothes. It starts with the clothing.
Right.
And then moves on, but it's we're stagnant because all the designers of today are thieves, every single one of them. I want someone to show me a designer who hasn't stolen from another designer, and it's really it's sad because we've fallen for it. Next year they're going to be like, shiny faces are in, or period 40s is in, or some like idiot somewhere goes, it's all about the maxi dress this year, or it's all about whatever. It's all about a 40s collar. It's all about, but it's never about anything new.
Right.
And so that is something that I want to talk about that I think our listeners should be just riled up and angry about and picketing outside of, every designer, because it's set.
So you think that makeup artists kind of follow what the designers do?
There's like some makeup artist that's working with some designer that's wanting to launch, the next line is hippie wear from the 70s. So we have to follow in suit and actually, we can't do like 80s makeup or some other weird, body, face, stencil, some crazy thing that doesn't go with the clothes. Our job is always, no matter what, on every film, on every commercial, on every job, they will always want you to go with what the feeling is with the clothes,
true.
That is always the nucleus of the entire shoot. And so you know, it's we always have to basically recreate or listen to Pat McGrath or whoever it is that's saying, okay, this year it's all about red lips,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there is, and then we have to do it because as you go down the chain, it's sort of like a domino effect. As we go down, people have to follow that. The makeup artists for their show have to create that, and then the photo shoots, and then the ads, and then the smaller designers follow suit with that because it's now a trend that everyone wants to purchase. And so now Mid-America wants to be all hippied out for that year, and so all everything follows in line behind that, and it's so sad. I just wish there was a giant rebellion where everyone just ran through the streets naked, refusing to wear clothing. But anyhow, so what do you think about that?
I think you might get a lot of makeup artists to agree with you, but to run through the street with no clothing, I very seriously doubt.
I'm just kidding about that. I will never show my naked body. No one will ever see me naked, ever, as long as I live. But the person doing my autopsy may see me naked. But, so what are you ladies up to? So Denise is off doing this great new TV show.
Yes, and I forgot who it's for. I don't know if it's, what network it's for, but it's Drop Dead Divas, and they've been... The show, I think, started filming in April, and they end in August.
Oh, cute. So they have already, that show is sold. They must have, the 8 episodes or however many episodes of that show have been sold. It will air on television.
Yeah, it will air, because they did the pilot was done, I think, sometime last year.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So
that'll be a great regular job for her. She'll be up in medical and dental and cars and all
right?
that. I'm going to be mad at her, actually. I've just realized.
Medical and dental, yes. I don't know about that company car. The union's not going that far.
No, I know. I'm just kidding. But still, it's a great thing because it's such regular work. And, I mean, I had an assistant, by the way, who that's probably like, is it like a reality show?
No, it's not. It's not a reality show. I don't know a lot about it, though.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, I had an assistant who used to assist me, and I called her one day, and I was like, well, will you come assist me? I have this job. It's like $350 a day or whatever. And she's like, oh, I wish I could, but, you know, I'm going through escrow right now on this other house that we just got. And I was like, well, how'd you get all this money? And she was like, well, I went and I was an additional, like in the film world and in television, there's no assistants. It's all, they're referred to as additional people. Mm-hmm. And so she was an additional person on a film and made like $350,000 once the overtime was over.
Yeah.
And went and bought another house and did all this stuff. And then now she's, you know, in the union
mm-hmm.
and working on TV shows. And she makes major, major money. And my friend Dina does hair for Desperate Housewives, and she's living in glamour, too. So Denise is about to be...
Well, you know, yeah. the blessing in it all is that she started off on this show, the third makeup person, and the department head had to go back to L.A., so everyone moved up. Now she's the key. It's definitely permanent work. So that was just a great thing for her. So you know.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. So she's gonna take a little break from the show to come to Pasadena for the makeup show, which we've been doing. Yeah, we've been doing this for about I think 9 years straight now. Coming to IMAX.
Wow.
So I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, this is my first IMAX.
Oh, wow, Maxie.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll enjoy it.
I don't know if I'll enjoy it because I have to get up on stage and speak, and I'm demonstrating makeup. And
Maxie,
you know,
Maxie.
You know, I'm going to be tripping. I'm going to be like, where's my fan?
David, what are you going to do with them?
Oh, you know what? Maxie likes to play this game before a show, but then all he does is you know, hold court with the leader
exactly.
of the band and has an amazing time. I mean, it's really amazing to see how appreciated he is by the makeup community. I mean, especially after, you know, the show, it's funny because, you know, you don't know what kind of people are going to have, you know, because of the way they depict you. And people just love him, and they recognize the talent, and it's just there, and it's people just want to come and take pictures with him.
Exactly.
Well, they just, you know, like I said, they just depicted me how I was, but yeah, I had a lot of people, you know, that didn't necessarily like me, but it seems like all makeup artists, or not say all, and if anyone hates me, feel free to call in now and let me know why, because I would love to talk to you. But yeah, it's some people, you know, I have, you know, if you Google me and blush, Maxi Blush, you'll read, you know, good and bad things about me.
Mhm.
And but I always love it, no matter what people thought of me. But yeah, Dave was, what he was trying to say was, it was so surprising that so many makeup artists ended up liking me after the truth was shown about me on the show.
It was surprising to Maxie. It was not surprising to me, and that's what I kept
saying. Right.
And it was sort of cool to see it actually come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I was wrong, I would have never heard the end of it.
But a great thing that did happen after the show, like, even though I didn't get the contract with Max Factor, by the way, I did recently work for CoverGirl, who's owned by the same people, and
nice.
I did Sean Johnson from Dancing with the Stars, who actually just won Dancing with the Stars, but I, of course, did her right before then and gave her my magic good luck mm-hmm. touch, as I have many before her,
right.
And she won, but that was an exciting thing, and it sort of stemmed off of, I guess it sort of came through or somehow from the blush situation, but I gotta say, and then there's one other thing, the great thing that happened is, from blush, all these TV shows made fun of me, like The Soup and The Dish and Best Week Ever on VH1, and from that, I got all these other TV show offers, so eventually, you may see me on TV again.
Okay, that would be great.
That's a warning, everybody.
Be warned now. Well, you know, I think when you see some of these reality shows, you always see the winner. They get what we think is a great prize, a modeling contract or a contract with a cosmetic line, a photo shoot, magazine spread, and all in cash. But it always seems like the runner-up is always the one who really makes out better to
Absolutely.
Me. I think you get more exposure. You're seeing more places. Sometimes I think some of the winners have to wait a while before the actual company uses them, like whatever the product line is or whatever the contract is for. Sometimes it takes a while before they even get started. So I really think that, you know, you being the second place winner, if that's what you want to call it, I think you get a better deal.
Well, I got, you know, Nolan, the winner, he got a great deal. Like, normally on shows, like when you win $1 million on Deal or No Deal or something, you get like a couple of grand a month for, you know, the next 20 years of your life. Or you can sell it out and give up some of your prize money to some annuity company or whatever they do. But Nolan actually immediately started doing things for Max Factor. He got paid really well, like thousands of dollars per day for all the Max Factor appearances he had to do. He also got his check, full check. Sorry, Nolan, if you didn't want anyone to know. But they sent him his check, honey. He didn't get no $2,000 a month.
Right.
And so, and I got to say, you know, our being on a reality show is not a bad thing. I think one day everyone will be on one. Because during the time while I was on it, it was really hard. But
mm-hmm.
afterwards, you know, it's nothing but good stuff. Even if you were a nightmare, crazy freak on national television, you know, it's good things happen still afterwards. I'm proof of it.
Well, I have to say you were my favorite one. I liked how you, like, sometimes they would be describing the challenge, like, the table is food, and it looks like you would just go grab stuff, and next thing you know, you're doing stuff, and I'm like, it would just take me a minute to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? So just watching you made me really want to step my game up a little bit, because I'm like, okay, you have to learn to think creatively a little more, because it just seemed like it came so natural to you. You would just boom, 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 boom.
Well, this is what it is. I started with nothing. I started with two foundations and two lipsticks that I would blend into everything. Mm-hmm. I had no money to get a kit. I had to be resourceful. I learned early on that makeup is not just lipstick. Mm-hmm. And I have had times when I've shown up on shoots and forgotten my brushes and makeup at home, or forgot my makeup at home and brought my brushes, or crazy stuff has happened, okay? And so I've had to be super resourceful. So I started just, you know, using things from the art supply store and from elements that have nothing to do with anything. Like, I can cut eyelashes out of trash bags and mm-hmm. and all of that. And they end up looking amazing. And it's hard when you just use what's out there on the market. If
right.
you just use that, then it's going to be hard to stand out and to come up with new things. That's why I use, like, stencils and all that. By the way, coming out, here's a plug, coming out with my own stencil line through OCC Cosmetics.
Exclusive announcement on that, I want you to know. We haven't announced that to anybody yet.
You need to start announcing it.
Yeah. Okay, I must know. Will this be at the show next week?
They will be
crossing our fingers.
Dave, how could you? You didn't get the stencils ready for IMAP.
If I have to cut them out of paper myself, they'll be there.
I have to find this out on national radio? Oh, my God. I've been pushing those stencils. Honey, I've been telling...
They will be there.
I've been telling everybody that will listen that the stencil line's coming out. But anyhow... So I've designed these stencils that OCC is backing, that each stencil can create about 100 different looks, because there's a great star one and a sun one, but they can be used in pieces or the whole thing in any color. You can add anything to them. You could put glue underneath and use it to create glitter stencils, and each one can, you know, create, I would say, thousands of looks. I'm going to say millions of looks. And so they're actually, like, amazing. I'm going to be using them myself. And they're going to be inexpensive. I'm not going to make, like, money on them or tons of money on them. I just want makeup artists to use them because, you know, I want them to broaden their brains and not just put lipstick on, because I'm not better than anyone else. I'm not better than any other makeup artist. I've just been sort of forced to be resourceful. And, you know, I am an artist. I paint besides doing makeup. And so I feel that maybe that's the case, that I've had to be resourceful just from poverty from when I started.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone is just as good as everyone else. Everyone out there that's a makeup artist is as good as the next person. It's just your experience, the time you have in the job, and you have to sort of force yourself to use other things and broaden your brain about it, and that's the way to sort of set yourself apart from the other makeup artists.
Right. Well, I want to let you know, Maxie, that my sister Denise is now on the line.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I on
How
the line?
How long? You are really rude. We work together on all these videos, and you never, ever called me or contacted me in the future.
I'm so sorry.
I hear about you after I come out, or hear from you after I come out on Butch. That's a joke. I am just horrified, Denise. But I'm so excited to hear that you're off buying a new house on the coast of some beach with all the new money you're making from the TV show you're on.
Oh, you heard that already?
Are you kidding? We've been talking about your TV show and how much money you're going to be making and all that.
Oh, yes. Good goody.
We didn't talk. We didn't really talk about how much money you're making. She didn't give us numbers. But she just
told us.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad she didn't give you numbers, but just know it's going to be a lot.
I know it is, honey. One of my old assistants from back in the day has all these houses. And she's doing the same thing, working on TV shows. I'm ready to quit the fashion, music, red carpet world.
Don't quit. Just add it to.
And just to let you know,
I thought I heard Dave Classfield on the line.
That's me. He is on the line.
Yay.
Dave Classfield.
Hey, Denise.
One of my favorite people. Hey, Dave.
You're one of my favorite people, too. I'm so excited.
Aww. And I thought I heard you.
I'm so like, I love that.
It's such a small world. It's such a small industry, but it's also such a small world.
Yes.
All the connections.
Yes.
But I never really bothered to know other makeup artists until now. Honestly, I didn't even know the name of but maybe two or three other makeup artists until I started actually meeting other ones and talking to other makeup artists, like after this blush thing. And I've always, of course, known David, but the only makeup artists, like, people are usually focused on, like, Kevin O'Coin and all these, you know, people from recent times, but I think people should research, like, who Wei Bandy is and sort of go into, you know, do research in different worlds because, you know, Kevin O'Coin, I think, is wonderful and a great artist and iconic, but I just think there's other people that you could, you know, have inspire you.
Absolutely.
Like, Denise is inspiring me right now to quit the game and start TV shows.
Don't quit.
Tell us about your show, Denise. I know you're under contract and probably can't talk much about what the show's about or whatever. But give us some gossip about the show.
Well, it's called Drop Dead Diva, and it's about a young lady that was a supermodel who, you know, she drops dead. She goes to heaven, and she pushes the wrong button, and she comes back to Earth in a bigger body. And, you know, she was blonde and skinny and gorgeous, and now she's a pretty girl, but she's, you know, brunette and a lot bigger. So she's having issues with her weight, and she's an attorney. And so the whole show is based around this law firm and this guy that she used to date as the skinny blonde who doesn't know that she's in this, you know, the skinny blonde is in this bigger body. So it's
wow.
Really funny. It just kind of reminds me of Ally McBeal a little bit.
Wow, it does sound funny. It actually sounds really bizarre, actually.
Yeah. A bunch of new actors, and, you know, we have some guest appearances from a few people from time to time. Rosie O'Donnell was there. Margaret Cho actually plays this young lady's assistant, so she's really funny. And it's just good energy, good people.
It's actually like a big show. If Rosie O'Donnell popped her butt up.
Yeah, it's a huge show, especially budget-wise, it's very big.
So, gosh, I am super jealous of you right now.
Are you guys airbrushing on that show?
Yes, we're airbrushing, and it's in high def, so of course everybody's like, high def, and we're looking for all kinds of makeup, you know, for high def. So it's been good. It's been a learning experience. So I'm just trying to use a little bit of everything. But, of course, I'm using my OTC foundation.
Yay.
You better be, Eddie, if you want this show to look right.
Trust me. I am. Trust me.
Have you tried the lip tars?
No, but Alicia is dying to try those.
Oh, we'll get those for you.
I thought for sure that I was, like, shoving those lip tars on you when I saw you in New York.
When you saw me in New York? No, you weren't.
No.
But we will rectify that. But I have to say, I'm just so thrilled to hear that you guys like the colors specifically, because I know that Illusion Cosmetics is all about women of color, and that was such a huge, huge focus for us to just have skin tones for absolutely everybody. And for experts like you guys to say these are right is like, it's just the ultimate stamp of approval as far as I'm concerned.
Great. You know, David, we're going to have to get you back on this show just so that you can promote OCC.
Oh, well, I would love that. And I'm just happy to be here to support Maxi, too.
Yeah, we're glad you're both here. Now, Maxi, I just want to ask you this question because I asked someone else this question not that long ago, but And I know you spoke about the death of fashion, and I just wanted to know, what do you think, in your opinion, how does Hollywood define glamour to you?
Well, the truth is that I really feel that fashion and style is usually started off by music people and people in rock, but also, secondly, Hollywood sort of defines, you know, what is or says or, you know, sort of instructs us all on what is glamorous or beautiful. So, but again, like I said, it's just, you know, stems off of what someone else in fashion said was glamorous or beautiful that year. If you notice, the Oscars are still just, you know, there's a few people who come, like classic beauty or, you know, whatever it may be, but there's always, you know, the trends. There's always the trends that are shoved down our throats so that every girl at the prom is trying to look like, you know, these people. Every wedding is like people trying to copy every wedding from a celebrity wedding. And, you know, so I guess, you know, Hollywood and glamour are, you know, hand in hand, because they define it, you know, they sort of guide us, you know, to what we eventually believe is glamour. But I feel that trends are come and go, and beauty lasts forever. I think that, you know, people should just always focus on beauty for themselves, unless they're trying to stand out or be different. I think that they shouldn't go for any of these regurgitated trends. I think that you should find what's great for you and do that, and play around with the trends, add them on top of whatever else makes you beautiful, but don't try to stick to a trend forever, because like I said, it's just something that's being redone from the past. I feel until there's a new trend, you shouldn't even emulate any of them. I think you should just, you know, for fun, incorporate the trends sometimes here and there. But people should just find what's great for them and not try to follow what Hollywood says is glamorous. Because, you know, Hollywood is just full of crap sometimes. The truth is, the celebrities used to get, like, a good table at a restaurant. But now they, you know, they can become president and governor. And, like, they're running our lives. And like, I'm about to just stand up on the table and scream. and so I just feel like it's something we shouldn't focus on, even though we will, even though I probably will, and we all will. I just still think we shouldn't. But Hollywood definitely, you know, is glamour, says what glamour is.
Ooh.
Did you hang up on me?
We're here. We're all here.
You guys are like, how dare you talk that way about Hollywood? Click.
No, we were just quiet. We were just kind of reflecting on what you just said.
Processing it all.
It's a hard comment to follow up.
You know, exactly. It's like, okay, I don't know what to say to that, you know, so we're just kind of listening.
Well, I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, if Jennifer Aniston ran for president, she might win. You know, but we don't want to be like, you know, sheep to these celebrities. We just don't. Celebrities in general, even though I work with them, even the ones I work with regularly, they know how I feel about all this stuff. As a matter of fact, it just drives me nuts when celebrities complain about, like, the paparazzi is dangerously speeding after us, chasing us, and, you know, causing, you know, some sort of, you know, dangerous traffic incidents or whatever. The fact is, and I've told this to about 10 giant celebrities, is that the paparazzi will drive 1 mile slower than what you're driving. If you're going 50, they're going 49.
Right.
If you're going 60, they're going 59. If you're driving like a mad person through the street at 80, 90 miles an hour, yeah, they're going to be behind you at 79.
Right.
And but it is not the paparazzi. It is you, the celebrity, creating this problem and this dangerous situation. And so I try to rebel against all this. Like, I'm someone who, I don't, like, really, I would treat, you know, Sharon Stone the same as I would treat a homeless woman outside of 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
If that homeless woman is really nice to me or whatever, I'm going to be like, here's a dollar, baby, have a nice day. If she's, like, crazy in my face, I'm going to be like, get out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with any celebrity. I've had to actually cuss out celebrities. I've threatened to, as a matter of fact, I'm notoriously known in the music video world where there was one time I was on a Nelly set, Nelly the rapper, on the Flap Your Eagle Feathers or whatever. I worked with him for like 4 years. And I would just hand him his lip balm and, you know, whatever. And I worked with him on every single video since Ride With Me. And I even traveled all across the country and did all of his, like, magazines and all of that. I became close friends with his sister, Jackie, who horrifyingly passed away. And then after that, I stopped working with him. It just fizzled out somehow. But on the last job I did with him, the producers and everybody, like, something happened to where I wasn't getting – I had made a deal where I would get paid cash at the end of the job. And – you know, at the end of the job, they were like, oh, no, we don't pay cash. I was like, what? Because in that deal, I said I would do no overtime. I would do it at a flat rate. Like, without an agent, which I was without an agent at the time because I just didn't need an agent, you're doing all your negotiations as a makeup artist on your own. And so that's the only great thing about an agency is that you don't have to sort of ruffle the feathers of people you're working with by talking money with them.
Right.
But I've had to talk money with these people. And so they were paying me cash. I said I would do it at a flat rate with no overtime and all this stuff. And then the job ended up going 20 hours, so other assistants on the job ended up getting more than I did because of what I agreed to, but I was going to get paid cash, so I was okay.
Right.
So at the end of the job, they were like, no. And so I said, I mean, in front of everybody there, there was all these cameo appearances and other rappers visiting and sports stars visiting, Nelly on the set or whatever. And I was just like, and then there was police about to shut down the job because they were drinking on the set. And so I said, I walked up to the producer in front of all these people, in front of everyone. I said, look, I said, I'm going to grab one of Nelly's liquor bottles. I'm going to take off my clothes, which I would never do, as I said before. And I'm going to pour alcohol on my body and set myself on fire and run past those police right now. And then they for some reason, they thought I was serious, which, of course, I wasn't. Like, I would never get naked, I would never injure myself, and I would never, you know, any of those things. But I was so mad at the time, I just said it very seriously. And they went into the trailer and got me my check. But it was only because, you know, all the other people there were like, look, Rex is going to call drop and pay him his money or whatever. And so I have no qualms. Like, this was in front of Nelly, in front of everybody. And other times I've had to, you know, worse other things have happened to where I've had to actually walk off of a job and just leave a celebrity on the set to touch up her own makeup or have them call up another makeup artist. Because, and these are all things that I don't want any of you all to do that are listening. I want y'all to learn from my mistakes, but this is just what I have had to do based on my experience. Like, I don't have social skills. I'm just out in Hollywood, like, sort of living the glamour life, but I'm from a trailer park. And they don't really know that, you know what I mean? So when they get bitchy or whatever, I'm like, baby, you're getting bitchy. And so, you know, problems can occur. So basically, well, the reason I'm telling you this is just, you know, your personality is almost as important as how well of a good of a job you do at makeup and how you promote yourself.
Right.
Your personality matters, people.
Right.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think it's actually probably 50-50. I think that talent is a given in our industry, and I think that's what gets you in the door, and it's all about whether or not people like being around you.
That's right. No matter, you know, no matter, Maxie, you know, some people would say, like, Taja and Maxi is not one for the corporate arena, but, you know, there is an arena that would accept someone like Maxi.
Yeah, there's many arenas, actually, I found out. Because, you know, I'm working regularly. But there are segments of, like, I, for instance, like I said, I've worked for Disney and Nickelodeon and flown to other states working for Disney on their High School Musical people and their Hannah Montana people. And that place, like, they will put you through everything. You get a background check, a drug test, a predator check, a everything check before you get to work with them.
Right.
And I tone myself down for Disney. I don't curse. I don't cuss in front of the kids. I don't come with a sequin burqa on. I don't. You know what I mean? I adjust myself for situations. And the thing that, you know, that I would say is different, that, yeah, I will snap on you.
Mm-hmm.
If you I will be adjusted to the situation until you trip on me on a set or do something disrespectful or are a bitchy celebrity. That's the point where I don't have that other extra editing system that other normal people have, to where they just go, ooh, inside their brain, they go, ooh, she's being a bitch. I say it out loud, you know.
Let me just let you know, Maxie, there are a lot of people who can't make those adjustments, you know, and they're nice until something happens.
And in fact, I mean, recently, this is like, honestly, I want to say, this is who I am, this is how I am, and I'm never going to change because some people love it, enough people love it to where I work. But this has affected me horribly, right, like right now, at this very moment, I want to slit my wrists, not literally, people, but I want to just freak out because I worked with Lady Gaga. I did her hair and makeup for LA Inc. before I went on Blush, and I got along with her so good, and I came up with all these future looks for her and designed, like, all this stuff for her and had a presentation for her. This is before she was even big. I just predicted, I was like, you know what, this person's going to be huge because I saw her past videos and blah, 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 like her little videos no one had ever seen. I just thought this woman's going to be huge. So I put all this effort in. I met with her. I did great makeup on her. Everyone loved it. But throughout, I was like, oh, and next time we're going to put mirrors on your body and do all this crazy stuff. But little did I know that the manager and the label did not want her to go in this crazy direction. They were trying to have her be sort of more mainstream when she wanted to be sort of naked. And I just somehow did not get along with her manager, Leia. I don't know why. I liked her manager, Leia, but her manager, Leia, hated me. And it was, I can't believe I sneezed on radio. Anyhow, she, for some reason, hated me. And it was definitely a personality thing. And I would be buying more houses than Denise is fitting to buy from her TV show if I had Lady Gaga still as a client. I was booked for 4 more jobs with her that day. I was supposed to go to Vegas with her and to Palm Springs with her. And I had an email when I got home that said, this isn't going to work.
Wow.
And let me tell you, I drove Lady Gaga home from that shoot in my car, and we were getting along, and it was all great and groovy, and she was the client, but there was other people involved that do the hiring or that make the decision that hated me. And so I lost a potential hugest client of my life because of my personality. So even though I work regularly, I've worked with all these celebrities, blah, 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 and I have a huge, bright future ahead of me with future TV shows and blah, 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 if I could be, you know, everything could be even better had I not been, you know, the nightmare that I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just admit to that. Like, I don't want to say, oh, yeah, well, I'm crazy and it's cool. It is cool and I'm not going to change, but it has affected me and I have burnt bridges. And
I think in that particular situation, though, you know, it really depends on what level the artist is that, because, you know, later on in her career, when she's more established, eventually she's going to get to the point where she's going to be making a lot of the decisions about who she's being hired.
I cannot believe you just said that, because during the shoot, I think the thing that bothered her manager the most was we were talking about the mirrors and all the stuff, and the managers and everyone was like, ah, it sounds a little too wild, and I don't think we're going to do that. And I said to her in front of everyone, I was like, well, honey, when you're huge, you'll make all the decisions. And I was just joking. But in the makeup mirror, I saw the face of her manager. Like, she was like, what?
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and what's really weird is I really liked her manager. I got along with her manager as well, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the truth was she did not like me. So I could be super-duper rich, richer than I am, if I had Lady Gaga. So anyone out there, just please let her know I'm ready and waiting for her to call as soon as she gets so big that she's running her life again.
It'll come, Maxie. The big client and the big money will definitely come, for sure.
Well, I have a bunch of big clients and tons of, you know, it's money is almost irrelevant to me. Like, I can go retire in Mexico today. But I loved her, that Lady Gaga, and I just think she's so amazing. And she was the ultimate client. Like, if I was, I wouldn't be as happy rolling around with Mariah or J-Lo.
Right.
You know, I would be miserable rolling with Mariah or J-Lo. Sorry, girls. And, but I would be so happy going around with Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I mean, I would love to, like, I mean, if I was, like, also I could compare Lady Gaga to other artists. Like, I would have just as much fun with Missy Elliott, you know, or, you know, some crazy rock band or whatever. But it's just she's so hot right now, you know. And, like, again, just like Shawn Johnson, I did her weeks before that Let's Dance came out.
Oh, okay.
And I gave her the magic touch of Maxie again. Like, everywhere, when I work with them, and I work with Christina Aguilera the night she won Best New Artist.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, I could go on and on and on. Like, I really feel like I'm just walking around, you know, that God put me here to be a good luck charm for all these darn celebrities that I'm so mad at. So tell us something about you, Crystal.
Oh, Crystal.
Oh, wait, not Crystal. Wait, who's on the other makeup artist from Washington?
Cynthia.
Cynthia?
Cynthia,
tell us about your fabulous career. What are you doing?
Well, it's definitely not a minute because we're running out of time.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely not as fabulous as yours and the twins, but I'm a lot more local, doing a lot of bridal makeup. I do work in the television department for the Postal Service, doing their makeup. But
bridal is the most important of all makeup that anyone could possibly do. Bridal makeup is more important than any red carpet makeup for a celebrity about to win an Oscar. Mm-hmm. It is the most important thing that a makeup artist could ever do is bridal makeup. Although you don't want to do it probably till the day you die,
No. It
is a memory that lasts for their entire lifetime.
Yeah. Using my OCC cosmetics, though. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's nice.
hopefully those stencils will be there next week.
They definitely
will. I know. Well, David is horribly rude. I mean, I'm devastated and shocked and just baffled and flabbergasted that those stencils haven't been the focus of OCC.
We will make it happen.
How could you, Dave? I'm promoting those stencils everywhere I go.
We like to
there
keep
are no stencils. Basically, that's like me saying, I have a new great invention. However, it doesn't exist.
I definitely look forward to meeting you next week. I was definitely a big fan of Blush and of your work as well. But I definitely want to meet you face-to-face next week at the show.
Honey, we're gonna do photo shoots. We're gonna do everything together. We're gonna have a bunch of pictures for our Facebook.
Okay.
And for the listeners, don't miss a chance to get your tickets. You can buy them online at makeupartistshow.com, so you can see us all there next weekend.
Great. So we'll all be there. We'll all meet up so we can, you know, put faces together. And thank you both, David and Maxie, for joining us tonight. Thank you, Cynthia, for calling in. Thank you to my
thank you so much for having me. Okay. Talk to you soon. See you at the show.
All right. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, Mama.
Bye-bye.